Hi. Gay is not sin, and Jesus isn't asking the gay person to change and be straight. The Bible doesn't condemn gays, and there is so much information about this. This is Gays for Jesus, the Stables Ministries. We've been going on here for well over 23 years, every single week. Haven't missed a week. Got a message. Gay is not sin. People, listen to me. Gay is not sin. 23 years ago when I came on TV and you flipped the channels, you went to church, you went over the web and so forth, it was much harder to find any information concerning gays on a positive thing. When I came to Christ in 1974, you know, I had this little kind of saying type of deal. If we get a barometer about how generally the population, as it were, in the United States, felt about gays, we would say perhaps, at least for public knowledge, you had about 95% against gays in the prevailing population of the United States if you were to take a poll and to go out there and find out what attitudes people have about gays concerning God and the Bible. You would have almost every single place you can imagine to be negative towards gays. There was no outspoken gays to speak of. They were the beginnings, and sometimes you had to look pretty hard. The Catholics came out with something called Dignity, a group of gay Christians that were Catholic in 1967. And then in 1968, Protestants came by a man that was a Pentecostal from the Four Square Church. He was ordained, and he started Metropolitan Community Church. Unfortunately, as it were, and not to be negative, but you know, it's still, he was Pentecostal, from a Pentecostal church. So that Four Square Church is Pentecostal. But he developed a church that is more like interfaith. All Christian denominations could meet together. And it was a pretty successful church. It had a way that gay people can go in and not having to really give up the faith of their denomination, but at least be able to worship together. And this was in 1968. Then comes along 1969, where a vice squad of police went to a place that was called Stonewall, a bar, where there was often shows put on by transvestites. And these transvestites finally had enough because they'd been hauled off to jail and so forth. And here there was, and one night they were being hauled off to jail again. And this time they stood up. And they resisted, and they fought back, as it were. And this was a celebration, as it ended up being, as all things happens usually, to celebrate an event of something important. So this became the secular date of when gays began to stand up for their rights. So you had the Catholics, and then you had the Protestants, and then you had the secular, 1, 2, 3 years in a row, gays starting to stand up for who they are. And then so 1974, you don't have a lot. You had enough of these types of groups that in the major cities, and only basically the major cities, you had some types of gay churches. And there was even the beginnings of small groups gathering together from various denominations. But they were hard to find. So in those days, if you go online and go to Christian chat rooms or the BBS systems that existed in those days, Christian BBSs, you're not going to and did not find any voice. I was on there all the time, looking around all the time and chatting up a storm. My screen name is the same as today as it was then. Gays for Jesus. I've been around the block concerning Christian internet sites. In the beginning, they were the BBSs, and then that transformed into the internet. And usually when I go in there with my screen name, Gays for Jesus, everybody in there, you know, some of these rooms has up to 50 people in there, and you could, and there's lots of different rooms you can go to, switch and everything. When I go in there and they see Gays for Jesus, they just got to tell me gay is sin. It just seems like that. It's just unnatural. But I already knew too much in 1974. Well, I know a lot more now, but I already knew more than just about anybody, especially any Christian that's going to say gay is sin, concerning the Bible and gays. So I knew what I was talking about, and I was gay. You know, that's the advantage a gay person has when they have a relationship with Jesus Christ. They know where they're at. They have the relationship with Jesus. Don't you know that? If only you can have the concept of you, a straight Christian, and your relationship with Jesus. Who is going to be able to tell you you don't have a relationship with Jesus? There's nobody. There's nobody. No matter what people might disagree with you about, there's nobody going to come up to you and say you don't know Jesus. It is you having a relationship. How do you get this idea that you can go up to a gay person and tell a gay person you can't know Jesus, and that gay person is the one living with Jesus day in and day out, 24/7, 365 days a year, and you are telling them? That's kind of funny, you know. Because, you know, isn't that what testimony is about? Isn't that what you do when you stand up in church and say, God's done this for me today? And you talk about, some of you write your testimonies out. Some of you write books. Some of you tell whoever you can about what Jesus is doing in your life, your personal walk with Him. You say, Jesus told me this, Jesus told me that. You act like Jesus is right there sometimes. And some of you don't really refer to Jesus necessarily as a one-on-one communicating type of deal. But generally speaking, it would be very hard for anybody to tell you that you don't have a personal walk with Jesus. So why do you think that you could tell a gay Christian they don't have a personal walk, that your only answers are, oh, you're walking with Satan? I mean, do you really ever have anything to express yourself about the Bible, showing what you believe? I know you could quote Scripture, but what I don't seem to get from you is the explanation. I'm just reading on a website. I think it's called Gay Christian 101. You can go there, Gay Christian 101. And, you know, this is a pretty well-documented site. And it kind of reminds of stuff that I already knew. You know, my site isn't as documented. I read, I understand, I've read it all, seen it all, know it all, whatever, and I am just telling you what I know. But I'm not the kind of person that sits there and says, this book and that book, and this is the documentation, and this is exactly this, and put it all there so you can see it. Don't have the time, don't have the whatever, it's not me. I read it, I'm going to tell you. That's me. But there are people that do. Document everything. Go figure. I love them. They're wonderful because then now they're a resource. You could go there and you could get the exact documentation. And this site, Gay Christian 101, has the documentation. It's kind of interesting. You like to say, Paul's going out there saying gay is sin. That's what you want to say. You want to say, Paul is telling you. You say, oh, it's a vile. And you say, gays are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. And you know, I kind of wonder, how do you get this information? Because there are sites There's research, there's studies that can show you this word in Greek, arsenikotes, up to the 16th century. Was only a documented thing that if you do your research, you can only find used 76 times. And not one of them has any close resemblance to a gay couple. You know, boy meets boy. They date. They fall in love. They get married. You know, sort of like straight people. Boy meets girl. They date. They fall in love. They get married. You know, that kind of thing. You go on dates. You're a couple. You fall in love. You do these romantic things and all this kind of stuff. You call it straight. Well, this is what gays is, except that it's two people of the same sex. Now, how come you cannot go, you that are trying to say gays, why can't you go to the history? Why can't you go to books and start showing us Paul was referring to people that were in a love relationship, one-on-one, a couple, you know, dating, marrying, as it were? How come you don't show this? But when we do go back to Paul, you know what we see? Before Paul wrote the book of Romans, he was in Corinth. He went to a fertility temple. In that temple were 1,000 temple prostitutes. There was a temple prostitute, a fertility temple prostitute on every corner. There are details we know. We don't have to guess. We know that these fertility temples had male temple prostitutes. Rome was far worse in the numbers of fertility temples. Just think about it. What did Paul do to get this idea of gays? Did he somehow say, well, you know, I got my tour guide out. It says the gay bars are in this section of town, so I went over to that section of town, and sure enough, there they are. As a, what was it, Jimmy Swaggart said one day, oh, this one pastor took me down to the gay section where the gay bars were and everything, and can you believe how defiled that street was, how, you know, there's two guys holding hands, walking down the sidewalk, right in plain sight, how disgusting. Disgusting, holding hands, walking down the sidewalk, how do you get this? So Paul must have got directions to the gay community somehow or another and went in there and saw all these gay... I mean, how did Paul get to know gay people so that he can write about them in the Bible? Where's the history documentation? Where's any kind of writing anywhere? Where's anything that we can find out about Paul that he hadn't found any gay people to talk about? But you want to know something? We know absolutely for a fact that Paul actually went into these fertility temples. The one with 1,000 temple prostitutes, he went into that temple. In that temple was also that statue to the unknown God. It's a no-brainer. All around the town. Oh, there's this fertility temple. There's this Cybele or something goddess who became to be on a coin in Paul's day. She was the mother of all gods. Or the mother of God. That's what the mother of gods. That sounds kind of like what Catholics want to call Mary, the mother of God. Well, this Cybele is, forget the pronunciation, is right there, Mother of Gods. She was the most famous, as it was. She is well known in Rome. Lots of details about this. Paul's walking down Rome, you know, he already wrote Romans, but he's going to go to Rome. He already knew what was there. He saw what was in Corinth. We say today, a church on every corner. Well, there's not exactly a church on every corner, but you know the saying, and you believe it. You don't doubt it. You know that, no, not quite every corner, but basically, yeah, church on every corner, we like to say. Why? Because there's so many churches. This is the saying in those days. A temple on every corner. What kind of temple? A fertility temple. In those temples, they had fertility male. They had the male temple prostitutes. practitioners came in, paid the money to the priest to have sex, ritual sex, with these male temple prostitutes. Paul is walking up and down the streets, he sees all these temple. I want you people to tell me where he saw the gay people. Or is it just that because in these temples there were male temple prostitutes, this simply to you mean, well, it's that sounds gay sex. So all gay sex is sin. That must be your thinking. Gang rape means gay is sin. I don't understand it. Being a prostitute means that orientation is, oops. Heterosexuals could be prostitutes, but not all our heterosexuals are sin. That's amazing. How does it happen that you say, wait a minute, the hookers over here, they're heterosexual. But look over here, there's a couple, they're engaged to get married. And there's a couple of people over here, they've been married for a while. Well, they're both having sex in a opposite sex. One is female, one's a male. Well, over here, here's that prostitute over here. One's male, one's female. So doesn't that mean heterosexuality is sin? You know, this is so hard to explain. I mean, it's so hard to explain that heterosexual prostitution does not condemn heterosexuality. Because somehow you have the ability to know that heterosexual prostitution is just that. It's prostitution. Has nothing to do with the heterosexual couples over here and the married folk. Somehow, magically, you know the difference. But when you look at gays, you go blank. You say, hey, it's male to male. Look at all the men, young and old, and all the people from two cities came to rape to death the two angels. How do you know it's they're going to rape them? Well, the angels didn't want sex. It wasn't just a wonderful, pleasurable orgy. Now, was it? When you look at the word wickedly that Lot used, you can't survive that word, the Hebrew word, utterly break in pieces, to harm. You know, they did not want to be nice to these angels. Somehow or another, to you, all you see is, hey, one is male, the other is male, doesn't matter how many, doesn't matter if it's consensual or not, it's just male to male, so gay is sin. God destroyed it for homosexuality. How do you do that? How do you do that? When the kings and queens of orgy gang rapes are heterosexual. Through junior high even, they talked about handing out tickets. And oh, the one that's got the number 13 in line of heterosexuals going to a heterosexual girl. You know, this is all, you know, this is a big joke type of thing. We gave tickets out to which position in line you're going to be. Like it's a big old fun thing. How do you determine and discern that that's the sin, but if one of those people actually went on a date with that same girl in a nice kind of atmosphere, you know, hi, how are you? Let's go to the dance. Let me take you out to dinner. Let's see each other for a while and fall in love and all that and get married. Somehow you just know that's the right way. And the other gangbang thing wasn't the right way. How do you know this kind of stuff for heterosexuals? But you don't know it for gays. For you, it doesn't matter. If it's a male and it's a male, every single one of the 670 million gays are going to hell. How do you do that? That's amazing to me. And it's amazing how you won't study. You just won't. You don't like gays so much that you just refuse to study. Because if you study, all you'll find out is Paul walking down the streets of these two cities and seeing a fertility temple on every single corner. And it's not hard to look in. Some of them weren't big. Some of them are huge, but it's not hard to know what's going on. They carve stuff on the walls. You see them, you're walking by, and there you are. You're saturated with sex images of all manner. It's carved into the walls. You know this stuff is going on. Paul's, how, where? Come on, people, come on. Tell me where you found Paul fighting gays. Tell me where you found it. And then same in Moses days in Leviticus, even though you just don't want to study and find out the word man there, because Hebrew has several words for man, means practicing heterosexual. You don't want to know that. And the other words, abomination and how the situation was and God leading them to the promised land and all that, that fits into this verse in context. You know the time setting. How do you get gays into that? Moses is walking around. Oh, look at, I went, those set of tents over there, because all these tents are the Levites. All these tents are the Benjamites or something. And all these tents are the Jacobites or you know, all the, there's 12 names. And you've got a couple extra ones there, because Joseph had a couple. And you could find the row over there, you know, the 10th row, a fourth column, that's where the gays are. And look at there's the gay bar tent. Is that what Moses did? Walk over there and see that? I mean, the idea about you thinking about gays are got to be in the gay bar, even though there are so many straight bars. I mean, I don't understand. How come you want to compare places where people go to maybe drink and have pleasure? Because you guys do it. That's your thing, because you came out of it or something. I mean, the gays are everywhere. I haven't been in a gay bar in 18 years. Most gay people aren't in the gay bars. So you're not going to find them necessarily in the gay area of bars. So what did Moses do to find out that there's gay people? He only had one really source of it, the temples, the fertility temples everywhere. As he's leading them, come on, gang, we've got millions of you, let's get going, we got 40 years to get there, come on, let's go. Whoops, here we are, the Moabites here, you know, look at those fertility temples there. You know, if we just passed this one, you know, we know that, we heard all about pretty famous temple here. And what do you see? You see, as they're going by, all these Hebrew men, you know, bunches of them going out to the temples. What are they doing? Ritual sex. Come on, people. Do better than just say it's in the Bible. Give the information that shows how you get gays in the Bible. If you don't know Jesus, turn to him right now. Say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. And that God rose you on the third day. Forgive me of my sins and come into my life. Simple prayer gets you saved. Now read the King James Version. This is really important. People, all modern versions are Satan counterfeits. You can find this out. It's easy. Look up Westcott and Holt for a beginning. People, Jesus has something else for you. He could baptize you with the Holy Spirit. You can speak in another language and have many gifts. Those of you that are sick, reach out your hand right now to the television screen. In the name of Jesus, be healed. Okay, see you next week, people.